Bahrain, Kuwait, the Democratic Republic of Congo, and Tanzania. We will discuss the cholera crisis on today's program. And to do that, we are joined, in a second, we will be joined by our guest. First, from Olympia, Washington, is David Albert. David is board chairman of Friendly Water for the World, an organization working to expand global access to low-cost clean water technologies and information about health and sanitation. And in a moment, we will welcome Mr. David Albert. Also, our guest today will be Dr. Martin Mangle. Before we go to Dr. Mangle, let's welcome Mr. Albert. David Albert, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
It's great to have you with us. And in a moment, we will be joined by two more guests. One is Dr. Martin Mangle, and Dr. Mangle will be joining us from Paris, France. He's program leader of enteric diseases with Agence de Médecine Préventive and project director of the African Cholera Surveillance Network, AFRICOL.
And thank you.
We will have Dr. Mangle. Dr. Mangle, are you there? No, he's not there yet. And another guest will be a third guest will be joining us from the Democratic Republic of Congo and share what is happening on the ground there, given that the issue is very much present there.
Who from Congo? Say that again.
That's Dr. Jean-Luc Kambale Musubao.
Medical officer
who will be joining us, and he is with Friendly Water for the World as well.
Correct.
So we hope to have both of the gentlemen join us very soon. Before we do that, Mr. Albert, let me come to you, but just a second, let me welcome Dr. Martin Mangle. Dr. Mangle, again, is program leader of enteric diseases and project director of the African Cholera Surveillance Network, AFRICOL. Dr. Mangle, thank you for joining us.
Hello, Linda. Thank you for having me on the show.
Fantastic. And on the line also is Mr. David Albert with Friendly Water for the World. So, gentlemen, thank you again. In a moment, we will have Dr. Musubao to join us from DRC. We hope to have him soon. So let me start by getting a picture of what is happening. First, let me start with you, Mr. Albert. You are working on the ground, as well as Dr. Mangle, AFRICOL as well, is working on the ground. But Mr. Albert, can you give us a sense of what is happening where your organization is working?
So we work in 12 different countries. Our main work, we do several different kinds of work. Our main work related to cholera is in teaching communities to build what are called biosand water filters. It's a very simple technology made of all local materials that can wipe out up to 99% of bacteria and viruses from the local water supply.
Okay.
There are cholera outbreaks in, we know of, at least 5 countries, the worst by far in northeast Congo.
Okay. All right. Very well. And Dr. Mangle, AFRICOL is very much present on the continent as well. What can you tell us in terms of the extent of the problem?
Globally, Linda, we have about 3 to 5 million cases of cholera estimated every year, and about 100,000 deaths, or likely much more than that. And specifically for Africa, you have to keep in mind that before the large outbreak occurred in Haiti, 98-99% of the deaths occurred in Africa, and about 80-90% of the cases. And as the cases slowly decrease in Haiti, the caseload and the case burden in Africa becomes ever more important. And there are way over 20 countries each year that notify cholera to WHO in sub-Saharan Africa.
Okay. And WHO is raising the alarm as to you know, what needs to be done. What can you tell us in terms of, because you are also involved, you also work with WHO. What is the if we're looking at globally, in terms of priorities, where is WHO really, what is WHO prioritizing at this stage? Is it a specific region, or is it more treatment or prevention? What is your take on this?
Well, WHO has a global mandate. There is now a global task force for cholera control at WHO headquarters in Geneva. And, I mean, they are really looking at this problem at a global scale through their five regional organizations that they have. And so they are equally looking, for sure, at the grave situation that I just described from Africa. They're also looking at Haiti, also at Southeast Asia, namely Bangladesh and India, where cholera has been, which is kind of the cradle of cholera, if you so will, where cholera has been known for several thousands of years. So they're really trying to do all of this, and they're trying to look at an integrated strategy for prevention of cholera, so by providing safe water and sanitation, but also a new vaccine that is now available, and also to control cholera outbreaks where they occur, and there is a long list of those at the moment.
Okay. Mr. Albert, when you look at the DRC, as you mentioned, is one of the most affected, if not the most affected in the region, what can you tell us in terms of the main reason? I know we hear it's a lack of clean water and sanitation, but why is it so widespread in DRC?
Well, in particular in the DRC, the population of Goma in particular, there's now 1 million people in Goma, and varies from time to time, but as many as 600,000 people in a very small space. Mm-hmm. So cholera will spread through the population very quickly when there is lack of decent sanitation and lack of good water, as well as limited availability of health care. And so the compacted population is what spreads the disease more quickly through the city and through the refugee camps.
Okay. Now, I have a question from Amy, because we do take live questions from our listeners, whether on Facebook or phone calls. And Amy is asking, and presently she's in Cameroon, she says, the rainy season seems to be a threat to cholera outbreaks in several countries, especially in Africa. Considering the rainy season is set to occur naturally every year, how can countries be better prepared to face recurring outbreaks of cholera? This is such an interesting and basic question. And perhaps, Dr. Mengel, I can throw this question to you. How can countries be better prepared to face recurring outbreaks, given that rainy season seems to be a threat for cholera outbreaks?
Yes, indeed. And my colleagues just mentioned the example of Goma. Cholera is a waterborne disease, so really what we need or what people need is safe water. They need water which has no Vibrio cholerae, which is the bacteria that causes the cholera syndrome. And what eventually is needed is that worldwide, everyone will need to have access to safe water through a piped water system, as ideally as we have it in the industrialized countries. And in the meantime, making drinking water safe through, for example, chlorination, filtering, etc., are short-term solutions that can greatly decrease the risk of getting cholera. So that's really the mainstay of cholera prevention. And for this, really the public health system in each of the affected countries needs to organize, and partners like NGOs, WHO, and international agencies can help in this battle. But in the long term, cholera needs to be fought in each country and by solidifying and consolidating the public infrastructure.
Okay.
I agree with Dr. Mango, but I would also note that in many countries, cholera is spread by piped water. that is the lack of proper filtration and proper chlorination and cleaning of water means that when cholera is in the public water system, it spreads much, much more quickly.
Okay. And Mr. Albert, when you look at the approach in terms of addressing this issue through your organization, what is your model?
Well, our model is based on the fact that there probably is not enough money from WHO or from the entire world for governments and large entities to provide for clean water, especially in very rural areas, very quickly. We think we can provide the skills and tools for people to do it themselves with all local materials to build small businesses and cooperatives to build the kinds of interventions that can prevent cholera permanently. In Goma, for example, where Dr. Kambali was not yet on the line, had gone into 26 orphanages. There are 26 orphanages in Goma, 3,800 kids, and he counted more than 700 cases of cholera, 67 deaths since January. He went in, had a team build biosand filters for each of the orphanages, and on September 2nd, we were able to certify that there was not one case of cholera in any orphanage in the city of Goma. The total cost was $1,980.
Okay. All right.
So if we could expand this, you know, massively while the world waits for a decent public water system.
Mm. Okay. Dr. Mengel, did you want to react?
Yeah, no, that's a fantastic endeavor that Friendly Waters has undertaken. And the variety of actors, I think, in the field that work on water and sanitation, I think, probably have done a lot, probably more